Today's scripture comes from Psalms 103, chapter 8 through the 18th verse. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of a field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And in its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts.
Thank you.
things can pull us down. I don't understand why I do what I do. How could I take my eyes off you? After all you've done for me, after all you have done for me, it's by your grace and love I am saved. It's by your grace and love you have forgiven me. And by that love and grace, I'm amazed. It's by your grace and love I am free.
Yeah. This morning I want to look with you at the book of Psalms, chapter 103, passage that Brother Curtis read. One of the Psalms of David, and we're looking at the life of David and how he was a man after God's heart. But we're looking at Psalm 103 and the words of David. I look through the Psalms because you know that the Psalms are the hymn book of the Bible. And these were really songs. These were words to songs. David was a songwriter. Many of these psalms came from his pen and from his heart, at least 80 of the psalms. And the likelihood is even more than 80. There were 80 that were attributed to David, that is, that have David's name at the beginning. And this is one of them. But here we find really the heart of a man after God's heart. And we're going to look here at the Psalm of David. Well, David was not the best father, if you know much about the life of David. You know that he had a lot of failures as a dad. I mean, he had turmoil in his family, partly because of the example, I think, that he set. And he knew that he had fallen short of being the best godly example that he could be for his children. And so there was a lot of, there was even murder in his family, among his children. There was one son rebelled against him, tried to take his life. So I'm sure if David were here today, he would say, don't follow my example exactly. I mean, there are many things in my example of my life that I don't want you to follow. That God has given us, gave you this record from his word that you might avoid the errors that I made. Well, he wasn't one of the best fathers. But I think if love for his children is the measure of what makes a good father, then certainly he was one of the greatest of earthly fathers. He experienced the grace of God, David did. You may know that he not only wasn't a very good father, he wasn't a very good husband, frankly. He had many failures in his life. But he, in all of these things, he experienced the grace of God. And one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 51. You may be familiar with that. It's really a prayer of confession by David of the great sin that he had committed, the sin of adultery, a scarlet sin, we would say. And then to cover up that sin of adultery, he had the man who was the husband of the wife that he committed adultery with, sent to battle and killed in battle. He was a king. He could do that. There are all these kind of sordid chapters in the life of David. But what's so wonderful about David to me is that here is a man the Bible calls a man after God's heart. And it lets me know that though I have made many mistakes and many failures in my life, committed many sins, God is a God of grace. God is looking for men who are men after his heart. Now, you could say not just a man, but any person, a woman, who wants to be someone that God would bless, whose life would count for God and for his kingdom's service, ought to be someone who is after the heart of God, pursuing the heart of God. One of the Psalms of David says, as the deer pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God. And you know Psalm 23. We could probably repeat it from memory. But it talks about how the Lord is my shepherd, David said. And he talks about how he would not want anything, that God would take care of him and lead him to those green pastures and those still waters. That's so beautiful, that Psalm. That's why it's perhaps the most popular and well-known chapter in all of the Bible. David wrote many psalms, but this isn't one of the better known. But I think it is a psalm that we could call a psalm of fatherhood, if you will. It's not all about fatherhood, but certainly it mentions God the Father. And there are some lessons here that I think particularly pertain to fatherhood, because David, after all, was a father. And I think as a father, he wanted to learn the lessons of being a godly father, the best father that he could be. And so he gave us this record, I think, so that we can learn from it. We can learn lessons here from this great psalm. What is one of the lessons? Well, forgiveness. Because he talks there about how God does not give us or treat us as our sins deserve, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Aren't you thankful for that? I have feet of clay. And when I was a little boy, I was mischievous. Probably like Vance there. Not as bad. I mean, not as good. Right, Vance? Yeah, you're a pretty good boy. Young man. But I was mischievous. And I got You know, I had this way, but maybe you're like this, Vince, that I could do something I shouldn't do, and somehow I got out of it. And usually my brother would get the spanking that I deserved. And because I was just kind of, you know, I think I was born with that kind of mischievous streak in me. Thankfully, and I'm sure you're thankful, it's gone now. But I often thought about that, how, you know, what a dopey kid I was. And, you know, how I did a lot of things I shouldn't have done. And I wasn't very responsible. I would tell somebody I was going to do something, and I didn't do it. And it just bothered me. And my conscience really tormented me sometimes because of the things that I did. And yet I'd not really been punished for it as I didn't know that I deserved. And as I've grown older, I realize that if I received all of the punishment that I deserved, I would be in hell today. And so I understand what David is saying here. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. So great is his love for those who fear him. So there's a pathos here, if you will. Just a deep emotion that David is revealing here as he wrote these words about God and his forgiveness. And surely he must have thought about his own family. And you know that David had this son named Absalom, a very handsome young man. I think he would have been the pride of any father. And Absalom killed one of his brothers. Now, his brother did something really bad. So you can kind of understand why he might do that. But he killed one of his brothers and then he ran away. And David held this really sorrow in his heart. He had a sorrow for this son that was killed by his brother. And then he had, on top of that, the sorrow of a father who had this son who did a heinous deed. And only a father who has experienced that, I suppose, can really understand the grief that David must have felt. And so there's pathos here. As David wrote this, he does not treat us, he's speaking of God, does not treat us as our sins deserve. As far as the east is from the west, he said, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And how far is the east from the west? It's a few thousand miles, isn't it? No, it's even farther than that. Because it really goes out then as far as there's east. No, that's not east. Yeah, that's east and west. So, yeah, as far as you can go in either direction, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. So there's pathos, there's patience here. David experienced that, the patience of God, how he was long-suffering toward David, why he did not just cut him off when he committed his great sin. So he understood the patience of God. Again, we're talking about fathers here this morning. And as dads, whether we have our children still with us or whether we've raised them, you never seem to fully raise them, do you? I mean, they always seem to need your counsel. And I have a dad in heaven now that I just really miss because I can't get on the phone and call him and talk to him. One day I will. One day I'll talk to him and we'll spend at least 1,000 years talking about all of the things that he had experienced and that we had experienced together. And I'm sure it'll be wonderful, that reunion. But the patience here, forgiveness, and the pathway is given here. In the Bible itself, Jesus said that we are to forgive 70 times 7. When our brother sins against us, or our child for that matter, there's to be no limit, in other words, to our forgiveness. And we have the example here in God the Father himself. So forgiveness, what does that mean for you? Well, it may mean if you're a father that maybe there's some forgiveness issues that you have to deal with. And I know we have high expectations for our children, just as David had for Absalom. And maybe David thought at one point that Absalom could be the next king of Israel. And that he had great and high aspirations for all of his children. But there are disappointments that always inevitably come. And what do we do? Do we harbor this harsh, judgmental attitude that we often have as fathers? Or do we learn from the forgiveness of God for us? Again, we are living in grace. We are living examples of grace. None of us would be here if were it not for the forgiving grace of God. And let us pass that on to others. Whether you're a dad or not, it doesn't matter. Jesus said also, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, or there's something between you and a brother or sister, then go and make it right between you and your brother. So grace certainly is the key there of forgiveness. Also, there is not only forgiveness but kindness here. Traits of a godly father, if you will. Forgiveness, and then secondly, kindness. A father after God's heart. Kindness. Well, let's consider these next verses here. Verse 13, it says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Now, the King James Version translates that pity. It's one of those words that's hard to translate with one word. Full of pity. The Bible says that we are to be, well, I think the King James Version says pitiful. It doesn't mean that we are to be pitiful in the normal sense today that we use that word. But that we are to be full of pity, full of compassion as a father for his own children. If I could share a personal example, when I was, But when I was still a non-dad, we were expecting our first child, and she was born, the girl. And it was kind of a difficult birth. Very difficult for me, of course, because I was there. I don't know, do dads still do that? I remember when we were having our kids, it was all the rage for the dads to be right there, in the delivery room. And you wouldn't want to be squeamish about seeing blood. Did you do that too, Fred? Yeah. And very hard, wasn't it? Yeah, we dads really suffer. Travail. Yeah. I'm sure you did. Wish we had a video of that, at least that part of it. Yeah, well, you dads know what I'm talking about here. I'm sure, Fred, you do. How you pity that little child that comes into this world. I mean, before they don't tell you this, I don't think, in the childbirthing classes, what that child's going to look like when it comes out. All bloody and, kind of bruised and scratched. Kind of damaged goods, we would say. But it's more than that. I mean, I don't know, there's something that happens. I'm sure it happens with moms too. Even before the birth, how you become so bound as one with that child. And I think David, being a father many times, he understood this. The pity that he felt for his children, it's more than pity, it's compassion. And it can only be really, I think, understood maybe by a father, that kind of pity and compassion. I think it's what he's talking about there when it says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And no doubt David was thinking of Absalom, perhaps. How he had compassion on Absalom, even when Absalom was trying to take his life. Absalom started a rebellion against his own father. Would have killed his father if he could. And yet David loved him. And when Absalom died in battle, killed by Joab, David's general, it just broke David's heart. I think he understood really the love of God at that point. How God loves us with an everlasting love. How he loves us even when we are so unlovely and unlovable. Kindness. Well, the semblance is God himself. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And it's remembrance. It says he remembers that we are dust. He remembers where we came from. And so he always thinks of us as dust, as I think from our very beginning, just like a father will remember that child forever as his little girl or his little boy, even after that child grows up. I think that's why it's so hard to give a child, especially perhaps a girl, away in marriage, because that man is never really good enough. I think it really highlights this natural, I think, gift that God has given us to remember where we came from and to show kindness because of our frailty, our fallibility, our failures. Now, not every father does that, of course. And when I say natural, I don't mean that it's something that, just comes automatically. I think on the opposite, actually, it's the opposite of that. We tend to be judgmental and too critical sometimes. And so kindness, compassion, think of agape love. That's how we are to love our children. I think it's important to discipline, yes. And I believe that the Bible teaches discipline, that we should discipline our children. And even sometimes the old-fashioned way. But if we make mistakes, let's make mistakes on the side of love. I think that's what it's teaching us here. Kindness, observance, observing that lesson here that God has given about kindness, showing kindness, forgiveness, kindness, righteousness. If we could look there at those next verses in verses 17 and 18, it says, as the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children. So there's a lesson of righteousness here. I think it's not enough just to claim the forgiveness of God and to love. I mean, love can be abused. And we all remember the old period of free love, you know, that redefining of love that I think is still with us today. That is not really love, and it's not really free. Righteousness is also important. Living a righteous life. Living a life that's right. Right with God, right with men. I think they go together. And so, what is its foundation? Well, it says, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him. Reverential fear, I think, is very beneficial to us. We need to realize that God is God and that we are just creatures that He has made. And to fear Him with reverential fear, with awe, like a father or a child would reverence a father or a mother. We are to have that fear and reverence for God. That's the foundation of righteousness. I think it's why we don't see much righteousness today, Franks, because there isn't much fear of God. Many times in the Old Testament, we read about how, for example, I remember, I believe it was Jacob came to a town and there was no fear of God there. I mean, it was very evident because of the way people lived. But certainly it was true of Sodom and Gomorrah. There was no fear of God. That's why there was such a wicked places. So there's a very important foundation here, the fear of God. Where do we get that? Well, I think it really is innate in us, but we have covered it up. We have maybe gotten so far from God as a nation, as a generation, let's say, that we have ceased to fear God. I think because distance will do that. Like the prodigal that ran away from his father, no longer felt like he needed his father, and so threw off all the restraints and lived the way he thought he wanted to live and ended up in the swineyard. So may we come back to the reverence of God, the fear of God, and education. Did you notice it says His righteousness with their children's children? I think that means and implies that we are to educate our children in the things of God, in the things of His Word. Now David would probably say, well, I made a lot of mistakes. I wasn't the father that I should be. But think of Solomon. Solomon, I was reading through the Psalms, and some of these Psalms are actually written by Solomon. And many who have studied the Psalms believe that Solomon may have actually compiled the book of Psalms, because he was, after all, the son of David. He wrote Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, perhaps had a part in editing other parts of the Scripture. But it shows how important it is to have a godly upbringing, to bring up your children in the things of God and the things of His Word. That's why the Bible says that we should train them up in the way that they should go. So education and legislation even. Now, I know that's a bad word today for some, but we need the legislation of God. We need the Ten Commandments to show us what's right and what's wrong. We need the other, not just the Ten Commandments, but all of the commandments of Scripture, and certainly what Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. We ought to apply. We ought to seek to be righteous before God. I think it's what set David apart, frankly. Now, I know David wasn't the perfect person, and people could say, oh, you know, I want to be like David. I mean, woo. You know, he had a lot of, you know, fun in his life, a lot of excitement, a lot of things that I'd like to live in my own life. But think of also the heartache that he experienced. I think the heartache should teach us that David, yes, his example of a godly heart, a heart after God's heart, is what we ought to all aspire toward. But we ought to avoid the errors that he made. That's why the Word of God is given to us. May we seek to live righteous lives before God. Again, we're thinking of fathers here and of forgiveness, how we ought to forgive. And how we ought to be kind, how we ought to love. And if there's an error that we make, let it be an error of loving and of righteousness. May we be fathers after God's heart.